please read that verse with me? It says, "But now listen to me, Jacob my servant, Israel my chosen one. The God who made you and helps you says, 'Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, O dear Israel, my chosen one, for I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank.'" And I love that scripture. That is so meaningful to me as a mom, of just praying this for my kids. This is the same heart that God has for his people back in the old days, back in the days of Isaiah. And even recently, I have been out on the river and just praying and asking the Lord for this verse for my kids. "Will you pour out your spirit on my children and your blessing on my descendants?" And the scriptures have just become so alive, and just asking the Lord for the same things that I see in the scripture, because I know that's God's heart, even though that wasn't written in the context of me. And I love that word thrive. That word has become a very meaningful word to me in my mothering, because we are met with the demands of mothering. We have children that have needs all the time. We have children that are struggling, and we can feel like we're completely inadequate and struggling ourselves. And then we're the mom in the home that is supposed to be meeting these needs 24/7. And yet God, I believe God's will for us is to thrive. And I want to define that word a little bit. This is the picture. I like to find pictures. Sorry. This is the picture that I like to I like to find pictures with my verses and kind of get a picture for me. So this is the picture of the word thrive for me. And it says in that scripture, it says, "They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank." And I was born and raised in Iowa. And I know what it means. We live in the desert now, so it's a little bit hard to come up with it in my own head now. But I remember the days of the Iowa farmlands and fields and pastures, and there would be a river running through a field, and you could see just the distinction of the river because there would be these big, huge trees right along that river. And there is something about a willow on a riverbank. It has just this strong image. And of course, we know that those willows are thriving because they are next to a source, right? The willow doesn't thrive out in the middle of the field. And in El Paso, we live in what they call the Upper Valley. So it's a complete desert. Cactus is everywhere in our city, and palm trees, that kind of thing. But we live down in this valley because we live right on the Rio Grande River. And the Rio Grande River is the river that divides Mexico and the United States. So it's a river that runs right between the nations. And in our little area is grass and trees and big, huge trees because we live right on the river. And so just that idea of thriving in your motherhood, and I think we can feel often so depleted in our motherhood instead of thriving because of the demands. And how do we do that? How do we thrive in the midst of that? So we're going to start with kind of looking at the big picture, our own lives and what God calls us to. God calls us to a different path than the world calls us to. We know that. Scripture talks about that. We know that we're different from the other women out on this street. Let's say there are 70 women in here. If we stopped 70 cars and pulled out all 70 mothers and brought them in here, we would be different than them because we are God's people, because God has called us to something different, because our source of strength comes from something different than the other mothers driving down this street. They tap into a different source than we do. There is a distinction even in our home. Hello. So God calls us to a different path. Here's a scripture for that, Hebrews 12. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." I love that. The race marked out for me. The race marked out for you. Our lives are different. I have my own husband, my own 8 children, in my own city, with my own upbringing, with my own struggles, with my own weaknesses. My husband has his set of his world. And everybody's race is different. But God has called you to your race. And there is something good about just understanding. I talk to moms all the time, and there's a wrestle with, oh, the kids that basically God gave me, or the husband that God gave me, or the finances that God gave me, or the house that God gave me. All those things can be challenges. My health can be a challenge. All those things can be a challenge. But this is the race that God wants you to thrive in. With these challenges. And this is what it can feel like. It can feel like the path less traveled. We can feel kind of lonely in our world, can't we? We can feel like no one understands. No one understands the struggles that I go through. And this is my picture for loneliness. We can be surrounded by people and feel like, no one gets it. Even the Lord, I'm not sure the Lord gets what I'm going through. And the Lord surely does understand that. He surely does allow those things in our lives for us to experience him. Just a daily reminder, you are known and loved by the Lord. I've appreciated this for a simple verse, 1 Corinthians 8. Whoever loves God is known by God. We are known by the Lord. The Lord understands. He's there. There's scripture that says, cast your daily burdens on the Lord. God gets it. He gets it. I love what Stephen shared even this morning that, you know, if you were struggling last week, but you're growing, you're in a better spot than the believer that has been running for 20 years that's stagnant, that's not growing. And that's the hope of it, is just that we would continue to grow. So when I think about the word thriving, and I think about not just surviving, a couple of pictures have come to mind of what that entails. The first one, I like this, the path less traveled, sorry. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And why I have that scripture there is, we can tend to go, well, God, what about that woman? Her husband's following the Lord better. Or God, what about her kids? Her kids don't seem to be as wild and crazy as mine. Or God, what about her house? Her house has a toy room where the toys can all be picked up and mine doesn't. And we can look around and compare our situations and just wrestle with, oh, my situation is just not from the Lord. It's not good. I can't thrive in this situation. I just need a toy room. If I could just have a toy room where I could pick up the toys, then I could thrive. And you know what? I can thrive without a toy room. I can thrive. I mean, I got plenty of stories of just, you know, the Lord whittling me down and not having things that I thought I needed to thrive. And I think God sometimes in his love whittles it down. He whittles it down that we do turn to him. He whittles everything down. He can whittle down friends. He can whittle down family. He can whittle down finances in his love that we would turn to him. This has helped me a little bit, how we see our world. I think this really matters. You know, if we're always comparing ourselves to the other woman or our situations, it can really affect our ability to thrive. And this is kind of the picture of it. As God followers, we see two worlds. We know that there is our world, which is big and huge, and we know everything about our world. We live in it. And then, but we're aware that there's a God world. There's a world where God reigns and that he has purpose and that he has a plan. So as believers, we know there are two worlds here. There's my world and there's God's world, okay? Now, the question is, which world's bigger? And oftentimes, what we can do is we can put our world as the big world. Our world, whoa, I mean, I have teenagers in my house. Their world is huge. And what they do is they can put God, and we moms can do the same, put God on a little footstool. Here's God's world. Yes, I'm aware that God's world is here. And yes, every once in a while I dip into God's world and try to throw his blessing on my life. But the reality is my world is huge. And God's world is just this little world that's thriving, that's down here that I'm trying to dip into. If this is your scenario, this is not thriving. This is what I've learned in my own life. If my world is huge and I put God's world on this little footstool next to me, I am not thriving. Something needs to change. So I went back on Google Images and tried to find another picture of what it would look like. And so I found this world, and this is where two worlds connect. Okay, so for a while I liked this picture. I thought, okay, this is good. God's world and my world. And there's a connection point, right? I'm like, okay, I kind of like that. I can see that there's a response there of, you know, kind of the worlds are the same size, and there's a connection and a response. It's like, okay, I kind of like that. But there was something that I still didn't like about that. I still wasn't sure this is what I wanted to go for. So I went back to Google again. And I found this one. And this one is where two worlds interact. And God's world in this one is bigger than my world. And my world is inside, operating in God's world. And there is a response there. You can see the response. There's an interaction there of those two worlds. And I'm like, that's good. I like that picture. That's a really good picture. But then there was another picture on the screen that I even liked better. And this was the one that the two worlds become one world, and they have a response outside of themselves. And if you think about your motherhood in this way, God's world is a big world. You can place your world smaller inside God's world. You can interact with the Lord, and you can radiate into your home, into your marriage, into your church life, into your neighborhood, into your mom and dad's life, into your sibling life. But it has to look this way. And I've given this talk a couple times recently, and a gal came up. She goes, I am going to buy two globes, and I'm going to find one that's little and one that's big. Because, Kathleen, my world is I'm the big globe, and I just put God in the footstool right here. And I'm going to put it in my house, and I'm going to leave it there until I change my worlds. And it's like, that's kind of how we have to think about it. I think this is worth meditating and thinking through. Are you putting your world and everything? And it's easy to do that because there's so many demands, and you're just reaching out and grabbing a little bit of Jesus and throwing him on you. It can't be that way. It's struggling all the time if that's your world. This next, I love this. God invites. God invites you to enjoy him, to live in relationship with him. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't just invite you to follow him. He doesn't just tell you, you obey me. He doesn't just give you warnings in his scripture. He invites you to enjoy him. And you can just step back a minute in your own personal life and think, am I in a relationship where I enjoy the Lord? Do I know what that means, to enjoy the Lord? And I'm going to just continue a couple things. The next three verses, this next one, what I like the term is thrive in full access to the Lord. Thrive in full access. These next three verses have been super meaningful to me. The first one is in Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Isn't that awesome? Think about thriving in full access to the Lord. We're going to talk about these three verses as a set. I'm just going to read all the way through them, and then we're going to discuss them a minute. Think about thriving in full access in relationship to the Lord. Look at the next one. I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I love that scripture. I just love some of the terminology. Some of the words there are just beautiful. Again, full access to the Lord, in relationship, enjoying him. Let's look at the third one. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. All three of those verses, I have lived on both sides of the fence. All three of those verses, I have experienced both. If you go back, I think none of those verses, do you have anything underlined, right? There's no underlines on those, right? Okay. So go back to the first one, Hebrews 4. Underline fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near. That's living. God invites you to live in that kind of an access with him. The next one, the next verse there. To the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted. Wow, that can just describe my soul sometimes. I'm just disquieted, I'm frustrated, I'm disturbed. And God invites me to live in access to him that I don't live in that way. The last verse there, here's a couple things I want you to underline. Do not let, stop allowing yourselves, do not permit. Okay? What do those three scriptures tell you? What do you see there that's similar in those three? Anything, just throw it out. Self-control. What else do you see there? Choice. Do you see choice there? Okay, what else do you see there? I'm sorry? Power. Do you see where this is God's will for you to live in this kind of relationship with the Lord, where you fearlessly and boldly draw near to God, where you live in a state where you are not disquieted, you are not unsettled, where you stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and frustrated? I like that. I like that there is choice there, that there is self-control there. There are things there that are tangible that I can pursue. And I don't think I got this in the handout, but there's a verse that maybe it is on your guys' handout. Is there another verse there? Is it Wiest? Oh, good. Okay, I didn't get it in my handout or in my PowerPoint. I can't remember. Oh, it's Philippians 4:6. Is that right? And it says, "Do not allow yourself." What's it say? About even. Is that incredible? Stop allowing yourselves to worry about even one thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to pursue. And Stephen shared this a month or so ago in a sermon. And boy, I was just like, okay, I am going to pursue that. I'm going to put that in my truth pack, and I'm going to start pursuing that. And every time I catch myself worrying or fretting or disquieted about one thing, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to turn it over to the Lord, and I'm going to say, nope, I'm choosing to walk in faith. I'm choosing to walk in full access with the Lord. That is such a good thing, and I'm going to use this word. I want you guys to write down this word, to practice. Practice living quieted, settled. Practice living, remembering that God has a bigger world than you. Practice not worrying about even one thing, but turning to the Lord in those things in your mothering. And I think there's just, that is what I would call thriving in the midst of the diapers, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the hard conversations, in the midst of the discipline, living as a mom that's in full access to the Lord, that's where she's walking in that grace. Okay? Oh, it's not on this, but it is on there. Okay, stop perpetually worrying about even one thing. And that translation is Wiest. Okay. Full access. I love this picture. She's not doing anything. She's not working. She's not doing the laundry. She's not ministering. She's not calling anybody, meeting any needs. There is something here that I think God wants us to live in our souls in this way, where we're turning things over to him and we're restful in him, and that's in the midst of it all. It's easy to live on autopilot, isn't it? Okay, and I found this picture. I like this picture because it says, engage autopilot. And boy, have I done that before where I just engage. It's just automatic. When we engage autopilot, we sense an emptiness. when we're not in relationship with the Lord, we sense a drain on our souls. We sense the frustration. When we're not enjoying that relationship with the Lord, we're sensing, I am just so drained. And here's, I think, what it comes down to. It comes down to who is in charge of your life, okay? Who is in charge? And I'm a homeschool mom enough to know that is a verb. It's a state of being verb, and it's in the present tense. Am I right, moms? All right, thank you. My kids said I got it wrong the other day when I said it. Okay, it is a verb, and it's a state of being verb, and it's in the present tense. So my question to you is, who is in charge? Because to live settled, to live quieted, to live and thrive, there has to be a release here. You have to take it off of autopilot, and this is what the world tells you. Keep your hand on the control, mama. Keep it all going. And our hand can just hover right over the controls. I got it. I got it. And that adds a stress. That adds a frustration to us when our hands are on the control. Who is in charge? It cannot be us. Our emotions can often run the controls, can't they? Look at her. Here's her words. I've been this woman. This is a picture of me. No, not really, but it could be, okay? Repulsed, mad, frantic, hate, worry. I've been there. I've been there 1,000 times. And her emotions are controlling her whole life. My kids can be there. Can your kids be there where their emotions are on the controls? They're not thriving in relationship with the Lord. We know that, and we can see it in their lives very easily, can't we? We can call it clean in their lives, but when it's us and our hands are on the control and our emotions are strong, it's like we can't, we got to be able to pull off that. Here's the problem. When we're in charge, this verse becomes a big problem in our lives. This is what Jesus tells us. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. So God's scripture tells us in this life, these things are going to be present. Tomorrow, these things are going to be present into your life. Next week, this is going to be part of living on this earth. We don't live in heaven. We live on this earth, and these things are there, aren't they? When our hands are on the control, and this is what is happening, there is a constant frustration in our lives and in our homes. And we have to whittle this down to understand God allows things in our lives. He allows a path for us to experience Him. And the problem with me being in control is I cannot make these things go away. I can't solve these things. I can't come up with it. I can't make people stop calling me and frustrating me. I can't make my kids make me happy. These things happen in life, and I have to look beyond that, okay? It whittles down to trust. And we're going to talk about who you're going to trust. It whittles down to Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. It whittles down to me trusting that God is involved, that my world is in His world, and that He is in control. This is what the world tells us. The world, sometimes we can, Stephen talked about that a little bit in the last session. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the voice of the world, the voice of the culture? There are 100 pictures like this on Google, okay? And this, I just picked one. Respect yourself enough to walk away from anything that no longer serves you, grows you, or makes you happy. That's what the world tells us, which means I would have had to walk away from my husband and my children and my church, right? And my family, because they no longer serve me or grow me or make me happy. But boy, there is a ton of this voice being pushed on us. Walk away from it. It's not right. Anything that's hard in your life, get rid of it. Sorry, ladies. I don't know anyone that can come up with that. That just doesn't happen. And so we have to thrive not walking away. That's not God's will for our lives, to put our kids. I've had several conversations, but one mom was like, oh, my kids just frustrate me, and I put them in their room, and I just know I have to get away from them. And it's like, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, okay, there are other solutions here. There are other ways to handle this than to push your children away, than to push them away because they're frustrating you. There are other things that in God's will you can do. The problem with introspection, who are you going to trust? You can't trust yourself. You know, I know moms that go on these hunts of trying to understand themselves and understand why they do what they do, and they take their personality test, and they try to figure themselves out. Well, the problem with introspection, the more you understand about yourself, you're just understanding your natural self. You're not understanding a world where God is bigger than you. We can't look inside and get answers for our lives and thrive. Maybe we can get some understanding, but we have to actually look outside of ourselves, okay? We have full access to trump, and I know that's an interesting word these days, our natural self, okay? To trump our natural self. And if you understand yourself and you understand your personality type and you understand your strengths and you understand your weaknesses, all you do is understand your natural self. But if you live in Christ, you can trump even your personality. You can do things even different than you would naturally do them. A trump card. My mom and dad used to play cards every Saturday night with another couple when I was growing up in Iowa. And we would go over to their family and they would make popcorn and soda, and we would, the kids, all of us kids would run around and mom and dad would play cards. And so I learned about cards. A trump card is a valuable resource that may be used, especially as a surprise, in order to gain advantage. Christ is our trump. Christ is our trump card. I don't have to yell at my kids. I can actually choose a different path. I don't have to get frustrated. I can actually be in the Spirit in my life. I don't have to, I mean, my personality, you probably got this figured out within 2 seconds, I can be kind of a bulldozer. I can be kind of a strong personality. I do not have to live in that. That does not have to define my relationships with my kids. I can be gentle in the Spirit, as God is in my life. And I'm just going to tell a little bit of a personal story here. This is, I'm going to need something down here. Hold on. Okay. This is about when this happened. I was trying to find a picture of when this happened in my life, and I think it was about this season. And this would have been when we had moved down to El Paso. You can see we had eight. We had, the baby had been born. And I think Blaze was probably about 14 or 15 at the time. And we were buried in parenting. There was a lot going on. We had a little church that wasn't growing particularly. Things were very challenging. We were having farewell parties where people were moving back north in my backyard, right and left. And we were talking parenting nonstop about the kids and challenges and struggles. And one time we had our quiet time and the kids went off to have breakfast, and Steve and I are talking about something, and Stephen is, you probably get this from listening to him, he is a very humble, gentle man, and he is a very, very good husband. He's very careful and very loving with me. And on this day, he said, "Kath, can I talk to you about something about your mothering?" And I'm like, "Okay." And this isn't common. This isn't a common conversation where he commonly does this, but he's like, "You know, the way that you're mothering makes me look like a passive dad. You're jumping in. If I want to give input to the kids, you've done circles 3 times around every single one of them and said 10 billion sentences, and I can't say anything because you're just all over it all the time." And this was a very hurtful conversation to your dear friend Kathleen. I was trying so hard to do the right thing and have the conversations. I was not trying to bulldoze my husband. I was just trying to keep all the conversations afloat. I was just trying to bring the Lord into it. And look at all those souls. There were a bunch of them, and there were a bunch of things going on with them. And I was just trying to keep everybody moving ahead and hurting them ahead. And I was so hurt. I mean, I was just like, you know, immediate. I don't cry unless I get mad. And I was like, welled up with tears, like, "Ah." And Steve's like, "You know that I think you're a great mom." And he starts being sweet. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I'm mad at you. I'm so mad at you. And I was just so hurt. But at that time, I mean, I knew God had something for me. I knew this was God at work in my life. I needed to change. I needed to get my hand off the controls. I needed to balance this out. I was just trying so hard to keep it all going. And so what I did was that year I wrote in my truth pack some of the things that Stephen actually said to me word for word in that talk, because I knew I was going to have to soak my heart on this to get my heart to get there. And this is just kind of these are some things I put in my truth pack, and I meditated on them every day. I prayed over them that God would give me this heart to be patient in the process with my kids, to value the process and the journey, to let God lead and wait. Stephen is a slower speaker than I am. That doesn't mean he's wrong. Actually, most of the time, he's stinking right. It's kind of irritating. He'll do it. He just says no to them, and they're like, oh, that's so encouraging, Dad. Thank you. And I'm like, no, and here's five verses. And they're like, what? You know, they don't even get it. But Steve just says no, and they're like, oh, God is so good, and so irritating. You know, another thing that I have just prayed is that I would not use my words, but that I would allow a relationship to massage truth into my kids' hearts, not just always coming up with the words and always the conversation. That's my natural bend. But there is relationship that draws them. The next thing there is let the process of today draw them to the Lord and to you. Not every battle is going to be won today, Kathleen. You don't have to win every battle today. Let it be a process. Let their hearts soften to the Lord. Not by relationship, but by this is exact wording that Stephen said to me, by the consistent, daily, tender, loving relationships that are happening in our home. It's not your words. It's the relationship that's happening in our home that is going to win with the kids. So that just gives you an example of just where God can trump my personality. I don't have to do it in my personality. And boy, have I seen a fruit in our home and in our children since I have, you know, by God's grace, just tried to walk that. This is probably one of my favorite pictures of motherhood. And I love this. This is actually the title of a book. I actually buy books, and I never read anything, ever, hardly. I read Steve's book. That was good. But A Long Road of Obedience in the Same Direction. And one time I was in a bookstore, and I bought the book because this was the title of it, with no intention on reading it. And it sits right above my pillow, and that's where it has sat for years, because this is motherhood to me, a long road of obedience in the same direction, trusting the Lord, walking with it, allowing God to do the process, allowing to be in relationship with my kids and what that means. You get to choose who is in charge. In this passage, in that time, boy, I tears over this verse, tears many, many times out on the river, crying out to God, asking God to help me settle down and trust him. Isaiah 30, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. The next part there, in quietness and trust is your strength, Kathleen. In quietness, not your words, not your ideas, not your plans, in quietness and trust is your strength. And then look at that last part. But you would have none of it. Oh, man, God pierced me with that scripture. He just pierced me because I was just trying so hard, and I knew I had to let go. I had to let God and Stephen take their rightful spot in my family and in my life, and it has been just a beautiful thing. I can still struggle with holding back and, you know, allowing that process. And sometimes Steve's like, okay, honey, you have told me everything you think I should say to the kids. Thank you. And so now instead of telling the kids, I go tell Steve, okay, now, this is what I think. He's sometimes like, Thank you. So, you know, it's still hard for me. It's still hard for me. I have to be really careful. This next passage, again, just pierced me. You were wearied by all your ways, Kathleen, but you would not say it is hopeless. You were wearied by your own doing. It was you, Kath, that was making this harder. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, okay? Here's a couple of scriptures that I have enjoyed. God's yoke, what God tells me is his yoke is easy. In Matthew, come to me. There it is, relationship, full access to the Lord. He invites you to enjoy him and be in relationship with him. Come to me, all you mamas who are weary and burdened. Okay, and I will give you rest. I will give that to you if you come to me. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. Here's how Jesus describes himself. The only time in Scripture where he personally describes himself, Jesus says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." Shouldn't I, as a mommy, be described that way? That I am gentle and humble in heart. If Christ describes himself that way, and I am a follower of Christ, I need to pursue being that mom. Gentle, humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Okay? God's yoke is easy. The oxen in the picture, they have a yoke on them. They have a set of restrictive boundaries on them. And God says, when I place my yoke upon you, Kathleen, and I put it on your shoulders, life goes better. It is easier. My no's are a blessing. My yeses are a blessing. My ways will bring a fruit in your family. I lovingly put this yoke on you. I lovingly choose this for you. Next picture, or next verse there. God's commands are not burdensome. They're not restrictive. They're not oppressive. They don't devalue women. They don't devalue your identity. They're a beautiful expression of that. It says, this is how we know that we love the children of God. Oh, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Isn't that beautiful? And you might be a gal where you're like, you know what, Kath? I don't believe that. God's ways are hard, and God's ways are restrictive, and God's ways are oppressive. And I would just encourage you, get before the Lord and be humble and gentle and say, God, show me this. Show me this side of you. Let me experience this for my kids, for my marriage, for my own heart. Because the mom that doesn't embrace this is the mom that has her hands on the control. It's the mom that is unsettled in her heart. It's the mom that is bringing a frustration into her own home. And we have to surrender. Boy, I have had to surrender, gals, and it has been a good long process because I'm a little pig-headed, and I can kind of be pretty serious about my own ideas. And for me to just really wrap my heart and head, this is what it has meant for me. I wave my white flag, God. I surrender. I surrender to your ways. I surrender to your plans. And this next slide, surrender or not. And I've also been this woman. Imagine me right there. I've also been this gal where I've been fighting it. And no, God, I don't want it. And I have my own ideas. And I don't know who's strapping me like that. But this is how my heart can feel a lot, like I'm just pulling against God and tugging and yanking. And there is, of course, you know, that impacts my home. That impacts my children. That impacts my marriage. That impacts my own faith. Okay, so we have to surrender that God knows what he's doing. I like this one. Get them while they're young. They put the yoke, you know, put God's yoke on your children at a young age. Get them while they're young. Make it easier than I had to go through, okay? I didn't get this till I was well into adulthood before I even understood that God has a yoke and that he puts it on you and that it's a loving thing. Put it on your children while they're young. Teach them to love it, to enjoy it, and to thrive in it. I like this picture because the yoke is on, they're peaceful, and they're in green pastures. And this can be a picture of my motherhood, is that God's yoke is on me. His ways are on me. His spirit is trumping me, and the yoke is easy. His commands are not burdensome, and I'm thriving in green pastures in my home as I yield to God in that. Okay? It takes a personal investment to really walk in this. This talk is not going to produce this in your life. It might produce step one. It might produce the beginning of a journey. Or maybe you're in the middle of this journey and you're like, this is what I've been thinking all along. This is my struggle all along. I don't know, but it takes a person, or at least for me, it has taken a personal investment. Many times the Lord has had to interrupt, rearrange, and redirect my soul. Many times. When I was young, I would often go to the Word, and I went to the Word with two purposes. One was to be encouraged, and one was to get strength. That's all I wanted from God. I wanted to be encouraged, and I wanted to get strength. And over time, I realized, you know what? This ain't happening, God, and I keep praying to be encouraged. And God had different plans for me in His Scripture. He wanted to rearrange me. He wanted to interrupt me. He wanted to redirect me. And I realize in the Scripture it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. What's the next word? Rebuking. Do you ever go to God's Word and say, God, just rebuke me today? Bring it on. Should we not go to the Word in that heart? Absolutely. Teaching, rebuking, correcting. God, I'm going to go to Your Word today. I want You to correct me. Correct me where I'm not thinking right. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God has more times than not, I think my growth has come when the Word has done these things to my life than to encourage me. I think this has been where the growth has been. And I would encourage you to pray this, to ask the Lord to interrupt you and to correct you and to rebuke you. Okay? We have to store up. We have to invest in our relationship with the Lord. We have to enjoy Him. I memorized a scripture many, many years ago when we lived in Colorado, Psalm 119:12. My heart is set on keeping Your decrees to the very end. And I decided a long time ago, this is who I am going to be. This is the woman that I am going to be. I am not going to falter. By God's grace, I am going to walk all the days of my life with the Lord. And I memorized this verse. I remember when I was thinking about that, and I was like, okay, this is the path that I am. No buts about it. I'm walking this path, and I'm going to raise my kids this way. Your heart is a storehouse, and I want you to think about this a minute. I was a brand new mom. I was pregnant with Hope, so we had Blaze. Blaze was probably two or almost two, and I was expecting the next baby. We went to a conference, and a mom with many kids shared, and she talked about this concept. And the whole time she talked, I sat there and bawled my eyes out. And Mary Young sat right next to me, and she was a brand new mom too. And Mary was like looking at me like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. And I'm just like, because God was working on me, and I was wrestling through all this stuff, and I had gotten a master's degree, and I was trying to sort out all this stuff, and man, God had His hand on me, and He was like, you are mine. You are mine. I am calling you. Are you willing? And by God's grace, I yielded. And I said, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm going to go down this path. And it has been such a good fruit for me. But this mama talked about storing up in your heart being a storehouse. And so this is a picture of a storehouse. And if you think about your heart, you can think about piling into your heart. And this is where a lot of mommies are. And their heart has a few remnants of the Lord stacked along the outside. But there's not much there. There's maybe a point of salvation. There's maybe a few experiences with the Lord. But the storehouse is empty. She's not investing in the storehouse. Okay, this is my next picture. Look at this mama. This mama's packing it in. Every day she's having time with the Lord. Every day she's encouraged with a verse. Maybe it's the same verse for one solid week because she never gets back to the scripture, but doggone it, she's got her verse, and she's sticking to it, and she's storing it, and she's asking God to change her life, and she's asking God, interrupt me, redirect me, rearrange me, God. I want it worse than I want my own ways. I want that fruit in my home More than I want my own ways, God, I want your yoke. I believe that that is the best for my children. And that mama is packing it in. And there have been years where it was very hard to pack in. I look at the mommy back there with the baby on her chest. It's tough. It's tough. Take it a verse at a time. Pack it in with the Lord. Here's a verse I love. A good mama brings good things stored out. Things out of the good stored up in her. What is stored in you, mama? Is good stored in you? Are you investing in that? Are you daily going to God? You cannot bring good into your home unless you are storing up good in your soul. It is not going to happen. You have got to invest. You have absolutely got to invest. I don't care what it takes. Figure it out. Figure it out. If you go slow, I went slow for so many years, gals. I went so slow for so many years, baby after baby after baby. I was either pregnant or nursing or, I don't know, something. I was, you know, sleepless nights, time after time after time after time. God met me there. He stored me there. He kept me. This is where I walk every day. That's kind of a glamorous picture of it, actually. It's definitely not that green. Maybe one day out of the years it got green. But this is my river, and there are mountains in the background. It looks a lot like this, except imagine it ugly, okay? Salt Lake is beautiful. I've been to Salt Lake twice now. Salt Lake is just beautiful. Everything is beautiful in Salt Lake. And just imagine that in El Paso and ugly. That's what El Paso is, okay? I don't know who came up with this picture, but it was a good day. It's never, ever that green. But this verse has meant so much to me. The mommy who unites herself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. You know what I love about that verse? Choice. Choice. Kathleen, if you unite yourself with me, if you get out there and invest in me, you are one with me in spirit. I will bring good into your home. I will bring good into your marriage. It's choice. And there's a scripture in Hebrews that talks about, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards, what does he reward? Those who earnestly seek his face. And I get out on the ditch and I'm like, God, here I am seeking you, and you tell me that you will reward me. You tell me that if I get out here and I get my heart before you and I earnestly seek me, you tell me you will bring a reward to me. God, I'm asking for it. I'm asking for it in my children's life. I'm asking that you would pour out your spirit on my children and raise up warriors out of our home, not because of me, not because of Steve, not because we're amazing. We're not. We're just plugging along, trusting God, just like you guys are. Steve's a type B personality, and I'm C. Neither one of us are even got our acts together. But God, we're trusting that as we invest in our storehouse, that God will reward us. I'll share there at the end. Store up, you know, those truth packs. This is 2012, 13, 14, and 15. This is the last 4 years. Verse after verse after verse, just taking, it doesn't matter what you put in there, just anything. Take the scriptures that from this weekend. Go to Walgreens. Walgreens has these truth packs that are huge, and they last about a year. Now, you have to use every single inch of it, and you have to color it, and you get pretty pens. This is like my artwork. This is as classy as I get. I don't do any crafts, but boy, my truth packs. I love my truth packs. And I just memorize them, and I go over them, and I'm like, may your words, and I can't do this without crying, and I cry on the ditch a lot too. May your words be that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God, this is what your word says. I pray that I would be that mommy, that I would minister grace unto my children. May my words be that. And I go to the next one. When Moses finished reciting all the words to Israel, he said, take to heart these words. They are your very life. God, I want your word to be my life. I want it to be my bread and butter. I want to bring that into my home. I flip the page. This is what I do, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. John, and I go through the next verse, and I just pray over the scriptures and just start building. The next one, find a place for you in your daily life. For me, it's my river. And many days, it's my couch. It's not even the river. I don't even get out. But it is my couch, and I have my Bible and my truth packs and all my little stuff in my little spot on the couch. And it's Mama's spot, and Mama has her coffee and her spot there. Find your little old raggedy couch and find your spot and get your coffee and your Bible, and that's where you store. And that's where you meet the Lord, and that's where you get corrected, instructed, interrupted, and encouraged. In quietness and trust is your strength, Mama. You have got to find that spot with the Lord, okay? We need to respond to God's voice. That is our work, to respond to it. And my response comes out in my prayer life, where I take those scriptures and I make them my prayer life. That's what I pray. I pray them for my own life. I pray them for my kids. I pray them for my husband. I love this. Proverbs 1, a warning. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart. Isn't that amazing? That God would have poured out his heart to me if I would have responded. We have got to have some kind of response to our scripture. And for me, that response is my prayer life, praying these things, asking God for them. And, you know, I just kind of, no one taught me how to do it. I just took a verse and I'm like, okay, this is what it says. Okay, God, that's what I want. That's exactly what I want. I'm going to ask for that. And I have prayed some crazy things for my family, crazy bold, that I would be a little embarrassed to even tell you. But it's in the scripture. I feel like I can at least ask the Lord for that. It doesn't mean he's going to grant it, but I can ask the Lord for that because it's in the scripture. It's God's heart. Don't just read, respond. And I think sometimes it's like, the men are coming back. I think sometimes it's just like, can you guys hold there just a minute? We can read and we can read the books, but we don't have this response. Okay. Thank you. When you believe, you trust. When you trust, you obey. And when you obey, you experience the Lord. It goes in that order. You have to believe, and then you have to obey, and then you experience the Lord. It comes through the choice of obedience. Thanks, Krista. Okay? And I am going to skip. I want to go to the very end, okay? Your life has a trajectory. It has a path. You have to set your course. Okay. There were... I guess I'll end on this. It's your legacy. It's your turn. Okay? So this is probably one of my all-time favorite pictures, maybe my all-time favorite picture. This is taken underneath a bridge down in El Paso, kind of in the ghetto of El Paso. And this is a couple years ago. And then one of my kids went in and photoshopped this, but it's out of Psalm 112, and it says, "Blessed is a man who finds delight in your commands. His children will be mighty in the land." And I have prayed that for my kids, that my children would be mighty in the land. And one thing I like to encourage moms is, it's your turn now. Your mom had her turn. Your mom did her mothering. Now it's you. You get your turn. You get your kids. You get your chance to impact lives. You do not have to do it like your mother. You do not have to do it like your neighbor. And it is your faith that will bring that good fruit. And I'll tell you, it's a big deal to me that it's my turn. My mom had her turn, bless her heart, she's with the Lord. But now it's my turn, and I can do it differently. These are my kids that God has entrusted to me. And it's my chance to change the world through the children in my home. As I stay home every day and love my kids and minister and bring faith to them, this is my chance to change the world. So I'm going to end on that spot, just that it's your legacy, it's your turn to change the world. And that's where I'm ending. All right, they can all come in. All right, thanks.